but in our dealings with them, it is a strong blessing to treat all beings as if they were our most beloved children, or Christ himself, as was Mother Teresa's secret. She said that she would look into the fly-blown faces, the sores and smells and dirty bodies of the ill and dying, and by grace she would see Jesus Christ's face, and so all her healing was a ministry of the most devoted love. I feel that this woman must have gone through years of becoming able to love and accept herself at the soul level in order to develop such an outstanding price in the outer sense. How can we see others as souls, creatures of divine love, if we are judging ourselves? As those of you who say, only insofar as you love, accept and refuse to judge yourself can you be compassionate in such wise to others. And only in compassion, as you see that treasure within you and within all, can you truly serve in a love that is without condition and that demands no return. 18 This caution is a subtle one. The main sense of it is simple enough. If we are seeing someone as a soul, and that person has no appreciation of this service, this needs to be completely acceptable to us. In any service to others that is intended as polarizing towards the positive path, the gift needs to be given without stint, and any conditionality we have, however unwittingly, in our giving will come back to us in echoes that we will have to work out in the catalyst of everyday life. But further, we need not to need to help, in order to be of help. We need to be able to let go of the pain we see, and let it be all right that this person is in pain. Loving someone as a soul does not mean we can interrupt her processes or solve her problems, or that we, 444, chapter 13, the secondary missions, outer gifts should even hope to. Rather, it means that we are able to lift her, in our hearts and minds, beyond the confines of all imitations, including those problems. Mike Korinko shares, there was someone that I am good friends with that was going through a really rough time. I was feeling frustrated and inadequate. I wanted to help her, but didn't know how to go about doing it. Myra suggested that this was only a distortion of non-acceptance of others' free will to experience those things that I perceive to be painful. She said that if I were to risk this free will, then I would not feel the need to help. Once this was done, my energy centers would be cleared and the energy would flow more freely. This would help me to be more open with myself, and put me into a better position to be a catalyst if that was what I was there for. 19 In this price of seeing what is unseen and knowing the infinity of seemingly finite persons, there are shadows aplenty and many, many seeming failures, but those who gravitate to this service will tend to be easy on themselves to the extent that they realize that of themselves they could not offer this service of soul sight. The secret to this offering is the surrender of the small self and all other selves into the Creator that unifies us. Those of you who say, to be of the most efficient polarity in the positive sense, one must be willing and able to give freely enough of the self that one is not concerned whether there be a return for what is given. In this service, the one so serving trusts in that which is greater than the self to sustain this small self in its daily round of vivites, that it might be nourished and supported in a fashion that will allow its service to continue. 20 As we price soul vision, we help our own quality of life. For one who sees from this level is a peaceful person indeed, seeing goodness within all selves, no matter what the outer appearance. Marty Upson says, we are each at our own level of awareness, tolerance, ability to accept and forgive. Compassion is important. And seeing each other's innocence, regardless of our Aryan. If we could each see the other's innocence in all matters, wouldn't this be a beautiful world? 21 Marty was writing this missive not just to me, but to a whole Wanderers email group that was wrangling about some matter at the time. A month later, some elements of the group must still have been feuding, for she wrote, 445, chapter 13, the secondary missions, outer gifts. Perhaps we are here to see all through the eyes of love. If we were able to be at the place where we could bestow love on everything we see, even if only in our thoughts, would our perception of it change? Would it change? I believe so. 22 Seeing others or ourselves with eyes of love, we are the Creator looking at the Creator. One asp of this price which is unexpired is the response for, or, When we do work to release condition in our relationships with other people, there is some mechanism that sets into motion one blessing after another for us. Love can begin to come at us in waves, and it can be overwhelming. Let it wash through. The good opinion and the bad, let it come and go without holding on to either. Do not resist the evil we see, let it be, let it go. At the same time, do not resist the good. Let people say good things to you, accept love offerings when they are sincerely felt and given. It is part of seeing at the soul level for this lesson to arise. The UO say, receiving the love offerings of others is the greatest gift you can give and is won by giving in service to others. When you reach the point at which there is no difference between receiving and giving absolute and unreserved love, then shall you be ready to learn the ways of wisdom. Until then, you must learn these lessons that seem so opposite: how to serve others, how to accept service from others. Yet, are you not looking in a mirror when you gaze upon another? Is that entity not looking at the Creator when he gazes back at you? Is this not the essence of your being? ? 23 It has been my experience that this side lesson of learning to accept love comes in cycles. If the wave of being loved gets too intense, hold on, soon, it will be balanced by catalyst from those who do not appreciate us. There was a time when I really could not take a compliment, being too much of a perfectionist and too aware of my shortcomings. I still have to work on it, but I get better. I am working on my response to not being appreciated, too, but I know that lesson far better. Forgiving without expiation of return seems an incarnational lesson of mine. I have talked to many wanderers who have identified this as one of their lessons in the school of life also. This makes sense to me. We wanderers came here to learn and to serve. The point of revisiting third density in the learning sense is to re-examine and remake our choice of polarity with more purity and power. Nothing sharpens polarity better than adversity. When someone is rude to us, we have the immediate choice: shall we see this person as an angry person assaulting us, or as a companion soul in pain? The Haton say, 446, chapter 13, the secondary missions, outer gifts. When you gaze upon the rude address of negativity, think of the sick child and reach out your hand in compassion, and take cool water, and comfort that negativity with compassion and great feeling of brotherhood. You are that negativity just as you are positive, and to heal negativity is to take it into the open heart and love it. All that is not love will fall away. 24 One venue native to this service is the inner watchtower within the heart, whether visited in contemplation, meditation or prayer. When we see the suffering of humankind, we behold a mighty and unfathomable sorrow. When we see one angry person, we see that same sorrow, flowing like a fountain from the general sea of woe. As we witness suffering, let us join those in the inner temple of prayer. As those of you say, there are among you those who do a great deal of work within, calling it prayer or meditation or worrying or concern, sending love and healing to those who watch and suffer and wait and perish. There is a lovely horizon sounding, with millions of souls blending at all times. Your planet prays without ceasing. Always, in every night watch, there are those millions unknown to you who keep the watch for humankind. When others sleep, you may well be raising your internal voice in praise of the Infinite One in thanksgiving and in intercession for all who suffer. And so, by lives lived in some part sacrificially, the societal karma is being, to some extent, alleviated through the heartfelt caring of very many of your peoples. 25 Seeing people at the soul level is a way of caring about others that is non-invasive and impersonal. It has a refined and philosophical aura to it, and remains within the self. Yet its use positively affects ourselves, those about us and the planet itself. There is much to recommend this gift for development. Being there for others. My great aunt Lisbeth is my all-time favorite relative. Being a typical wanderer, I was a totally unsuitable and unlikely child and teenager. I continue this tradition as an adult, and just about every relative I have has disagreed strongly with my thinking and decisions at one point or another. But not my aunt Lisbeth. Whatever I was thinking, she found it interesting, provocative and a trigger for her own thoughts and the numerous literary quotations and artistic references she always had coming to mind. 447, Chapter 13, The Secondary Missions, Outer Gifts. Whatever I decided to do, she found that very solution to be the inspired choice. We probably traded letters twice a month from my 8th year until shortly before her death, when she became unable to write and I was in my 40s, and in all that time, her flow of encouragement and support was continuous. Aunt Lisbeth, for whom I am named, lived in Bryn Mawr, and no one in the family was located anywhere close to her, so her last years were spent completely alone, bent as a gnome, living in a convalescent center in constant pain. At her funeral, several people who lived and worked at the home rose to share their admiration of her, for she had been, even in old ages, growing unawareness of where and when, that same sweet and trusting soul who saw the good in everyone, and woke each day with a smile and an enthusiasm for living that was bone deep. Lisbeth was there for me. This asset was one of my treasures as a child, and the memory of it warms me still. Would that I could ever love life and persons with her degree of success. As a natural critic, I would ruefully say I am better at telling the truth as I know it than being of such blind and universal support. But I am convinced that the price is profoundly blessed and powerful to serve. It is of the same basic nature as seeing people as souls, but rather than being impersonal and non-specific, this price works with people's worldly sorrows and dreams, hopes and fears and choices, looking for ways to encourage and support others. In offering it, we are still seeing the self and other self as creator, but we are more aware of our ability to speak and reach out in specific ways. The creator's love can only be expressed, that support can only be given, by the hands that are of flesh. You are the creator to those about you. Your support is the only way the creator can support within the incarnation, within the illusion. Your hands, your voice, your smile, your eyes, these things are your gifts to your brothers and sisters. 26 Gypsy brings it right down to earth. I know just being who I am, and listening to others, and making them smile and laugh and not take the day-to-day stuff so seriously, that all is well! 27 Romy Borrell shares her vision of this service. In my search for myself and my purpose, I often overlook the most basic opportunities for service. Honoring and supporting my partner. Just preparing a meal with love and thoughtfulness is service. Taking a few minutes to read with my son. Calling my mother just to let her amble. Often I get so overwhelmed in my seeking and my purpose and, 448, Chapter 13, The Secondary Missions, Outer Gifts. What I want to offer that I don't take time to be the others in my life and understand what they need from me. 28 I especially admire Omi for calling her mother. I despise the telephone and always help to stay off the wretched instrument. But back to her statement, notice she said to take time to be the people in her life. Not be with them, but be them. It is a tremendously unselfish act to be there for another person, not putting forward our own opinions except where they support and encourage the other. The key is RISP for their survive point of view. We ask each always to remember to RISP what other people see, what other people believe and what other people hold true, not attempting to cure them but simply supporting them in whatever they do, for each has an unique path. 29 Part of this price is non-judgment, both in refraining from judging others, and refraining from judging how well we are supporting those we hope to serve. We will never get an accurate reading by taking our own spiritual temperature. To know how well we are doing, we shall need to wait until we have ended this earthly life, and find ourselves in sunnier, more clarified climes. Those of you who observe, we know that you desire to help, to serve, to love and to give. Love and serve that which is nearest to you. Cherish that which is given unto you, and release with gladness that which moves from you, for you shall pass in and out of many lives, and in your interior ions those things will occur which you know not of, nor shall you know until you enter a larger life in which the veil is lifted and you are able to see clearly that which you have been able to do in service during the incarnational period that you now enjoy. 30. In the normal course of events, we fail at being there for our other selves from time to time. At least, I do. Part of offering this gift of presence is the releasing of feelings of failure and self-judgment when we seem to fail to live up to our ideals. The UO Council, was this wagon that you hitched yourselves to a bit bulky? Sometimes in a desire to do so much, entities move faster than their deepest selves can walk. So, unhitch yourselves from this yoke. Let the wagon go, you have pulled it long enough, and come always together as new entities, new souls, newly dedicated as if at the very first of meetings. 31, 449, Chapter 13, The Secondary Missions, Outer Gifts. When there is a misunderstanding, when we are apparently of no support, let us accept the seeming disharmony with patience, releasing the need to be right or to be anything at all besides the voice and touch of the Creator, and finding the courage and strength to let such difficulties slip into the past. Then let us begin anew, re-seeing ourselves and the other self as one being within the infinite Creator's unity. Sometimes this process can seem a long one, but if we persevere, we can enter into new and more fully supportive kaions, as we find the springs of deep love within our own hearts flowing through us in infinite supply, and as we accept the grace and consolation of resting in faith. Listening. Although I make no claims to be an expert listener, this outer gift is perhaps the most attractive to me of all of the ones in this chapter, and calls to me the most of any gift I may have given myself before this incarnation. Words fascinate me as much as people do. Language is slippery at best, and the way people use language is highly individual and subjective. What comes through in correspondence or talking may or may not be a linear, straightforward thing with a shallow bottom and clear meaning. Far more likely is a multi-layered piece of communication in which some questions and issues may be expressed while others remain unspoken and perhaps even unknown to the speaker. This is also the nature of the listening self, and each and every distortion and insecurity can baffle clear listening. How we hear people begins in a welter of our own unadmitted biases and progresses through patience, persistence and sheer learning experience and the ensuing humility. The greatest support to the price of the gift of really listening is the daily price of silence. The keeping of silence, the keeping of the listening ear as part of the daily round of liberty is always, we feel, an excellent price, for in the silence, in the listening lies the key that unlocks the door of your own wisdom, that which is within the deep mind, that whose voice is silence and which can only be heard by the open and listening heart. We do not need to tell you how difficult a price it is to maintain the silent and listening receptivity to destiny in a world in which intangible and invisible things are often given no worth or value at all. Yet, this price is most productive of peace of mind and is very efficient in its own way at keeping the seeker upon the path chosen before the incarnative experience. 32, 450, Chapter 13, The Secondary Missions, Outer Gifts. The silence is a palpable thing. We can price silence on walks, in exercising, if we turn off the headset radios and just enjoy the ambience, in meditation and prayer, in lounging in splendid leisure on a holiday, in just sitting and daydreaming. Jim and I went through a period of several years in which we kept silence for one full day a week, at a time when we were dealing with a lot of my illness and needed to work harder on the quality of our consciousness and life together. It was a price that we found very rewarding and healing. Its only drawback was the amount of time we spent offering each other things we thought they might like. Without words to express our desire to serve each other, we did a lot of fetching and offering and, at meals, the passing of condiments. But that was only a minor drawback. If we are a true aid to the ministry of silent listening, we need to price silence persistently. The inner self will still speak far too stridently to be considered truly silent, but over time I think the silence becomes more comfortable and native, and our quality of hearing becomes somewhat enhanced. The hardest thing to balance, for those of us with many opinions, is the desire to speak helpful thoughts. Those of Hatton say, many other well-meaning instruments who feel moved to serve and who then err on the side of doing and talking. If you are talking, you cannot listen. If you are doing, often you cannot hear. And in serving others, the function of listening is central. Entities are seldom what you expect. Things that appear simple at first glance may be found to be coming from a bias in that person whom you wish to help, to which you must listen carefully to comprehend. 33 In listening, the goal is not to form an opinion and prepare to speak. The goal is to become a mirror, clear and lucid. We ask you to listen, not to speak, for in listening you provide a loving and compassionate mirror which mirrors back to that other self which is the creator, that which that other self is doing that it would not wish to do, to allow that entity to realize that which it is not doing that it does wish to do. In listening, you become a manifestation of the Christ. In listening and forgiving, you have moved ever closer to the mind of Christ. 34 There is another aspect to listening. Sometimes, what a person wishes to communicate to us is, according to them, all about us and our shortcomings. We do not need to take an anger, rudeness or spiritual dyspepsia, but we do need to realize that even though a person's anger may be inappropriate, 451, chapter 13, the secondary missions, outer gifts set, we may be able to take the content of the UL criticism construively, to learn something new about ourselves, and to gain from the process of examining the self. I find this an often difficult but always rewarding exercise, and emerge from such times of self-examination refreshed and cleansed. Listening can be a Lenten pastime, but soul-searching and the willingness to humble the self are salutary growers of spiritual maturity. And bread does come back upon the waters. Often, we find listening ears when we, ourselves, need to be heard. It is the gift of each to each that in communication a more objective or unbiased viewpoint might be heard by all. Each has gifts of this kind to give, and each has much to receive, even from those who seem to be negatively impressed and critical. Open the ears always when this occurs, for perhaps truth may lie there, and perhaps freedom might come from a new perception of this truth. For with each other's help, the incarnational self attempts more and more to conform its vibrational pattern to that one original pattern of great selfhood. This is the object, to match the vibrational true heuristics of the one infinite creator. All of self-perceived selfhood is an illusion. All of creation is an illusion. There is nothing here. There is nothing there. There is only everything, and it takes up no time, nor space. 35 The spiritually oriented listener, then, is listening in eternity, with the consciousness of the widest viewpoint, which is infinity, and yet she is also focusing on this one soul, this one thought process, this one area of concern and learning. It is a price to delight the heart that yearns always to be better, to serve in a higher way, to become more pure, to honor the divinity in people more deeply. It is a nurturing method that is intangible, yet most keenly felt by the speaker. There is nothing like the feeling of finally being fully heard, or even heard at all. As with the exercise of all gifts, the listener becomes the learner of much. Beyond any understanding of the problems heard about, there is the process of resting more and more in the wordless clarity of silence to bring our minds and hearts to a more profound awareness of the self as a spiritual being. This is the greatest gift of silence. It gives us ourselves as it gives the speaker himself. Communication. I thought about heading this session about outer gifts, talking. However, the other half of listening, as an outer gift, is not precisely talking. It is talking with an open heart. Those of you who say, 452, chapter 13, the secondary missions, outer gifts. Whatever the interions between any two entities, the sweetness within the stream of moment by moment living is dependent greatly upon the soul's ability to open the heart both to the giving and to the receiving of information, communications and shared emotions such as affection, love or appreciation. It may seem, indeed, that some things never need to be said. Yet, if there is a kindly opinion, a good thought or that which occurs in the impulse of the moment which seems fair and loving to be shared, let that be shared. For when the breath is expended in speech concerning the desire to love, to understand, to support or to strengthen another. That energy is as the healing that moves between the words, between the lines, between the thoughts, conceptions and internalizations of the rational mind. Language, indeed, could be well dispensed with were it not for the need to communicate, for that which most deeply uncovers and cleanses the self is most often not the rational, logical or common sense, but rather that speech or Orion which is intuited by that portion of the self which dreams and receives information from the subconscious. For that portion of the self which is visible is but the tip of the very large iceberg which is completely submerged beneath the surface of that water's edge which is the alignment of the deeper mind, or subconscious mind. 36 Communication, then, is not simply giving clear speech to a listener and sharing information in a way that a listener can understand. It is also responding to that which is heard, both in the words and between the lines of what the speaker has said, with an attitude of open-hearted love and a naive faith that thoughts can be most helpfully shared. This level of communication is not easy. It is both an art and a spiritual price. As with the development of all outer gifts, it is necessary, before setting the goal of developing the gift on the outer plane, to do the inner work that brings the self more and more into an awareness of the full self. We do not become perfect, ever. Ask any saint and he will tell us. The more ethically fastidious we become and the higher our vibratory level, the more clearly we will see our many faults. But we on the path of awakening must finally capitulate and fall in love with our error-prone, biased, ornery selves. That is what it takes to begin to communicate with transparency and clarity with ourselves and others in a way that is seen as a help and the sharing of a real gift. We start talking before we open our mouths. The first thing we communicate is our basic vibratory complex. 453, Chapter 13, The Secondary Missions, Outer Gifts. Your inherent vibratory expression communicates more deeply, more searchingly than you shall ever know, than you shall ever be aware of, for the truth, as it becomes purer, is that which we are. And that is far beyond words. 37 When we are working upon knowing ourselves, we may feel we are being too selfish. Nevertheless, doing this work is absolutely necessary in order to communicate. Our self-confidence and gladness of heart frees both speaker and listener to feel free to share. If we are not feeling radiant, our first work, before any communication is attempted, is to balance our attitude and find the way back to our own open heart. The art of communication is enhanced substantially by this conscientious clearing up through the Green Ray Center. The clearing of the heart and its opening is exceedingly important, and usually much of a seeker's time is continually spent in keeping this heart energy flowing and radiant. The work turns, then, from the obviously radiant to a more tightly focused radiance in the development of communication skills which are based upon a certain depth of personality or depth of a point of view, that is in the Blue Ray Center. 38 The chakra clearing may well extend right through the indigo ray, for communication can involve the gateway to intelligent infinity in the seeker whose depth of personhood has moved into the adept's circle. That depth of personality is hard won by most of us, and it tends to manifest as a humility, the humility of one who knows from experience that communication can fail badly. As in all aspects of the positively oriented path, pride has no place, and it is a waste of time for us to be proud of communicating well. We can be grateful for the gift, and glad when we do well, but inevitably, there will come the time when we fail utterly, while doing everything as well as we can. When these failures come, embrace them and do not be swayed. Just be ready to try again. If an entity has the humility and the patience to work with another entity to achieve clear communication, nothing will keep that entity from achieving clear communication. But it is to the humble only that this becomes true. 39 To humility I would also add patience, since when a communication is disrupted through misunderstanding, often the issues involved cannot be remedied in any short time. Sometimes there will need to be silence between two sensitive people while imbalances are adjusted within each person. Recently I was flamed in a rude 9-page email masterpiece of 454, Chapter 13, The Secondary Missions, Outer gifts its ranting kind, in itself an humbling experience, by an old and good friend who has contrued divorce madness. I am presently experiencing a period of silence with my friend, whom I know to be a good and serious seeker, and in whom I trust. Right now, I can love her, pray for her and smile when I think of her fine qualities and quick wit, but I really can't share any opinions with her without further hurting her.